Welcome to This Woman Can, the Women's Leadership Podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, Executive Coach, Leadership Development Expert and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. And welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. And as you know, I love showcasing and highlighting the fabulous women of the Caribbean. And this week, my guest is Giselle Riley. She's a global storyteller, educator, writer, speaker, and creator of the Digital Boss Babe, a podcast based in Kingston, Jamaica. She is absolutely passionate about sharing stories of powerhouse women and empowering passionate professionals to create magnetic, and she says, non-boring brands. She has spent over a decade working in media and communications, helping hundreds of businesses build their brand, launch successful campaigns, and increase their global impact across diverse industries. Her work has been featured in Huffington Post, Virgin, Thrive Global, Caribbean Posh, and many, many more. As a brand story strategist and master NLP practitioner, she is on a mission to help women step into their power and position themselves as industry icons so that they can increase their impact, income, and influence. And she shares with me that when she's not binge watching Mad Men, we're friends here, on Netflix with her son Gabriel, you can find this outgoing introvert, and we'll talk about that, having dance battles at home with her husband and business partner, Kevin. So, ladies, my guest this week, as I said, is Giselle Riley. And Giselle, welcome to This Woman Can. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. I listen to your show. I got to tell you, I love your voice. I love how you get so deep with the questions. And I love how you're able to bring your guests in to just sharing more of themselves. So I'm really pumped to be here. Thank you.
So hopefully I can work my magic on you today. So Giselle, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, well, the Cliff Notes version of my journey, right, is that when I hit 30, which was a couple years ago, you know, I entered what you would call a quarter life crisis. Yeah,
because you millennials.
No, but like I was depressed, for a lack of a better term, you know. Right. I got tired of seeing people just get promotions, you know, that I knew I was best suited for. I was like an anxious mess, you know, over the rise and fall of my business, which actually started at age 21, but I was so nervous and afraid that I didn't start anything again, like, until obviously years later.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, I like to say chicken shit. Can I say curse words on your podcast?
You can say whatever you like on my podcast.
Awesome. You know, I was too scared to pursue that other venture. And I was also super, super cheap because, you know, I would just rather scour the bowels of Google, you know, than to invest in myself with courses and stuff like that that I wanted to do. Yeah. So there were several nights, you know, where I'd be crying on my bathroom floor, asking God for a change because I didn't know what was happening to me. You know, I did the vision boards, you know, I was praying. I figured I was a good person. I deserve, you know, these things. Why isn't, you know, life happening for me the way that I had envisioned it?
Right.
You know, but then one night, I guess he got fed up of me too. He said, "Giselle, get up off your butt and do something." So I listened and I just did. I had to do something, and I figured it was anything, right? What he told me to do. And that's when the words Digital Boss Babe came to mind.
Okay.
And I just couldn't shake it. And he said to me, "Do a podcast." And actually, it was from doing that podcast and, you know, learning about the story of other women that I was able to dive deeper into my own personal story and just deconstruct what made me a wonderful human. And it told me how I was going to use my gifts of communications to serve the world, which is kind of funny, right? You know, I have years in communication and I'm doing this for people, you know, to let them be better communicators over the years. But my narrative was different. I was holding myself back. So once I went on that journey, I got phenomenal results. I got promotions within a year. I tripled my income within that time as well. Again, as you know, I started my podcast, which thousands of amazing women across the globe listen to. And just finally living within my purpose of, you know, serving women through brand communications training. And it that has been my journey so far.
So thank you for that, Giselle. So from the listeners who may not be familiar with brand communication, can you elaborate a little bit more on what you help women with, how you help them?
Okay, so with brand communications, and I'm going to take it a step further to talk to the brand story strategizing part of it. So what I do as a brand story strategist, I help women find their story and show them how to leverage it so that they can connect with their audience and that they can step into their power to be a leader, right? So once we found your story, we work out how you're going to relate that on interviews, you know, how you're going to engage people when you network with them, and how you're able to, for lack of a better term, super blast your message to the message. Use media to let people see who you are so that you can position yourself as an expert.
Fabulous, fabulous. So I get that. We may have some examples later down the line. Now, I was quite struck by what you said about, you used a couple of words there, which I know a lot of women would probably use, in the fact you said on one hand, you deserve to be in a particular position, but on the other hand, you said you felt you weren't worthy. And both of those are very much a dichotomy, because you deserve it, but you're also feeling unworthy. So what do you think led you to feeling this feeling of unworthiness?
Over the years, and I think that a lot of women can identify with this, because I think it's a big social construct. I think that as women, we are expected to do and be everything. So when given the opportunity to do something for ourselves, it sends us haywire. Like, okay, am I really supposed to be doing this? Because all the other balls are going to drop. That was a big thing for me. You know, I had to balance, you know, saying to myself that I know that I deserve it, because on paper I deserve it, and I know the power that I have within myself, but can I actually handle everything? And if I really can't handle all of the balls that I've been juggling, then maybe it's not for me. So that was the biggest thing.
And what's interesting there, and again, this is something I coach women on, is that you didn't think that you could almost go out and get support, because you're not there to do everything. You know, what you need to do is, how do I get to the goal? And what are the resources I need to get there? And me saying that I need some help or support to help me on this journey is not a sign of weakness. Because often we think, and I always go back to this, the black woman narrative, being strong, this, and we have to do everything. We have to shoulder all the burdens. And that if we're asking for support, then we're not living up to this ideal of the black strong woman narrative. Mm-hmm. When actually the strength is actually finding and admitting that, look, I hold my hand up, I need some support here. You know,
exactly.
So I'm really glad you shared that, because there's a lot of us that go through it, and I have been there myself too. So, you know, I totally empathize. So Giselle, let's move on a little bit. Share with us one of your biggest challenges and how you overcame that and the lessons you learned.
I mean, the biggest challenge, you know, going back to what we're speaking about, I would put it within the context of self-sabotage. yeah. right?
Yeah.
You know, I would have all of these, again, multi-talented, multi-skilled, I would have all of these wonderful ideas and forget about actually not knowing how to strategize it for myself, because it's different when you're doing it for other people. When you're doing it for yourself, you know, you get caught up in all of the creative aspects of it. But the challenge I face, and I still face to this day, is that, you know, am I good enough? And that's just real. Am I good enough to be doing these things? And as I said, I still go through it every now and again, but how I overcome it, besides from looking at what's actually real, you know, that, you know, I have the credentials, I have people, you know, that have clients that message me and say, oh, Giselle, something you did for me last year was amazing. Look, this has been in my journal, how you've helped me. At the same time, I'm saying to myself, oh, you know, I helped her, but what about other people? So another way that I overcome it is to just share my story with other powerful women,
right,
you know, because even though you know the answers within yourself, sometimes they give you the kick in the butt to say, okay, no, Giselle or whoever else you're speaking to, you are awesome. Cut the crap.
And I love that you talked about self-sabotage. So could you share with us how that sabotage, how that inner saboteur shows itself? Because it can be very, very sneaky.
Yeah, it normally shows itself when I'm about to do something big. I've made all the plans, I've put everything in place, but when it's time to launch it, I'm like, oh, okay, is it really time to launch it? Am I really supposed to be doing this? But again, besides from prayer, another thing that gets me through it is to stop being so goddamn selfish, because that really is a selfish way of thinking. You know, you have to think about who you're serving, as opposed to just being with your own insecurities and wondering, you know, am I supposed to be doing this? No. Yeah, so again, I got to kick myself in the butt sometimes too.
Excellent. Because I know for me, my saboteur tendencies come out in the form of procrastination. And one of the things I realized when I was doing my end of year review was that I'd done lots and lots of things. I'd achieved lots of things. And it was a real reflection process for me. But what I realized is that I'd achieved lots of things, but not the things I'd actually set myself as the goals. And yes, they were all good things, but I'd sabotaged myself by doing other things, not what I was supposed to be focusing on. So once I had that realization, like, oh hell, yeah, that was good, but actually didn't get you towards the goal you were trying to get to in the first place. Everybody else thinks it's fantastic on the external, but then I'm thinking, ooh, trying to regroup. So like I said, the saboteur can actually show up and we don't realize, like you say, sometimes that it's actually acting there. So we talked about the saboteur and stuff like that, and you do all the brand communication. But if you had to start over from scratch, Giselle, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
Start over from scratch. Okay.
Yeah.
That means I can go back in time, right?
You can go back and you can rewind.
Yes.
And I'll probably show my age there, because in my head I had a cassette tape. So, you know.
I listen to cassette tapes too, man. But I would go back and I'd speak to the younger Giselle, who was about probably 19, right, when she's just entering the workforce. You know, I would empower her daily, letting her know that you got this, you're awesome. Stop putting so much pressure on yourself. Stop trying to fit within society's definition of success.
Yes.
Create your own. And I think that would be the most pivotal thing for me that I need to, that I would have needed to recognize early on. Because, you know, we often see that success is defined as, okay, you know, the 5-bedroom house and, you know, three BMWs in the driveway, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And while that's great and that's good for whoever it is that that suits, that isn't necessarily something that you require within your soul. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So you can serve people and you can be happy doing it and you can make a lot of money doing it, but you don't need to feel restricted to say that I'm not a success because I haven't had all of these other things.
Yeah. You, I think you define the success. And one of the things I've realized over time is that the definition of success changes at different stages of your life. Like you said, at one point it would have been all the external trappings, you know, the big house, the cars, the jewelry, the clothes, the shoes. And then fast forward, and I know when I was definitely transitioning, I don't think it's the same for you, that when I transitioned from the corporate world to entrepreneurship, the challenge I had is that I was still measuring my success based on the corporate measures. And that took me down a path that was very difficult to get out of because I couldn't understand why I wasn't achieving and I was beating myself up for not achieving. And then suddenly realized, well, actually, what you're the question I had to ask myself is, if you wanted those measures of success, why did you leave corporate?
Exactly.
Yeah. What is it you actually want in this new career life you've built for yourself? And that was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be working those hours. I don't want to be chasing that. It's not about the money. I want to go to the beach when I want to go to the beach. I want to spend time with my family. So yeah, the measures definitely change. So that was your measures then. As you said, you talked about, you know, think about the trappings. How does success feel for you now?
Success feels like waking up every day knowing that I'm living in my purpose, which for me is God's purpose.
Right.
You know, just listening to him and serving women who need to be healed, not only personally, but professionally as well. Because to me, those are my two loves. I love the personal side because if you're going to be better professionally, you need to nurture that side of you. Mm-hmm. So waking up and engaging with women and creating experiences, you know, whether it be workshops or, you know, virtual summits or just engaging with them on podcasts, you know, that is my part of my definition of success. And on the more family related side, I have that already, which you know my husband, you know, and a joyful son who keeps me on my toes every day. You know, so I'm, for the most part, I'm pretty much living in my success.
Excellent. I love that. I absolutely love that. So just touching on that a little bit, I call it the myth of work-life balance is something that a lot of women strive for. You have a young family, you have a, you know, happy relationship, you have a career. How do you, and I'm not going to use the word balance because I just don't think there is such a thing as balance. I think, again, I've got a whole different construct on that. Mm-hmm. But how do you make it work for you so that, I suppose, all involved are happy or satisfied in what's happening?
It's funny, you know, because as soon as you said balance, I'm like, there ain't no balance.
Yeah, there's no balance.
I'm not balancing anything. I'm just doing. And that's another thing that I had to give myself grace with, because before I thought it was a bad thing that in one moment I felt frazzled, you know, as a professional, like frazzled as a mom, and how am I doing these things? But there's, you know, I just wanted to say again, there's no such thing as balance, you know, so it's something that you are aware of, and a lot of other women, we need to let them know, just give yourself grace. Somebody said to me once that they prefer to call it harmony.
Yeah.
You know, just living in the space where you're just accepting that this is what I'm doing at the moment. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I accept that some things won't happen as I want it to happen. Now, going back to your real question, how do I make it work for me? You know, I ask for support. You know, and my husband is a really big he's a cheerleader. He's a big support in that regard. So, you know, even now he's upstairs with the baby. He's taking care of my son. You know, when I need time to do editing, when we need time to have meetings, you know, he takes care of life on that end.
Yeah.
And whether or not, you know, somebody has a partner, because we spoke about this earlier, you have to be willing to ask for help because you cannot do it all on your own.
Yeah.
And another thing is that other people can have strengths that you don't have, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like my, I call it a family business. My mom is great at administrative stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I let her handle that. I ask for help in that regard. So I just have my team, people who I trust, people who I know, you know, are, you know, highly competent to do things. So I make it work by bringing them in and having them support me.
Fabulous. And that's the competency of a good leader, because a good leader or a strong leader knows they don't have to know everything to get the job done. What they do need to have is the people who know how to do the things that complement their things. And I think that's something, again, when we're trying to be everything, all things to all men, we don't have to be. What we need is to make sure we have the support network, the team, as you say, that play their strengths to our perceived weaknesses. Yeah, so I definitely love that. So you talked about being at work and helping women navigate their careers and their lives. So what are some strategies that can help women achieve more prominence in their role at work?
Okay. So one strategy, I find out a lot, stop apologizing. So I was getting into one point. I'm going to get into this one because I'm really passionate about it. I find that as women, we apologize so much. And it took me a while to get here as well, because I fall victim to it sometimes. You know, stop apologizing. I remember I was doing a video shoot with a bunch of, you know, amazing entrepreneurs. And I found that anytime that the woman would make slip ups, you know, they'd say, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, okay, it's okay. You know, you're in front of a camera, people get nervous, okay, you don't need to say you're sorry. But the men wouldn't apologize, they would just stop and start again. And I don't know where it comes from, where we feel the need that we need to apologize for making quote unquote mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, but we apologize for nothing. So we need to stop doing that. If something doesn't happen that perfectly within the organization, you know, unless it's something like it costs a company millions of dollars, you don't need to apologize. You know?
And you're so right there, because we apologize in emails, you know, or we ask permission for a lot of things, you know, in meetings. You know, do you mind if I say something? Well, actually, why am I asking, do you mind if I say something? Or, you know, apologies, but, or, you know, and there's ways, and I sometimes have to, I'll be writing an email, and it's so pervasive that you don't even realize it's such second nature, that I will look at him and go, hang on, why am I saying that? Why am I saying just? You know, I'm just this. Like, it's not a just, it's actually very important, you know. So yeah, I totally agree with you about the apologizing. But again, I think it's always a work in progress, because it's so ingrained in us. So how did you get past that?
I wouldn't say that, as I said, still, you know, it's something that I still deal with. So nothing that I really fully passed, but just having the recognition that, hey, stop doing this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You tell other women to stop doing this, you ought to stop doing it yourself. You are not less than anybody else.
Yeah.
And something else that women can do in the workplace as well, that can help with their positioning. Women do it, men do it. But when you're speaking, like say you're in a meeting, right? And you're having a conversation, sometimes people feel the need to chime in, you know, over what you're saying. And some people, they just talk a lot. It could just, you know, be, it may not be their intention, you know, to do that. But a lot of the times it is. Don't take it for granted. You know, what you have to say is worthy. So if you're speaking and they're speaking over you, one way you can do that, you can say, oh, excuse me. I was saying something. Thank you for sharing your point, but I would like to continue. You know, that's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is elevate your voice a little bit louder.
Right.
Because when you do that, you know, it's going to override what the person is saying. They're either going to stop talking, you know, or they're going to get, or they're just eventually going to get quiet and everybody's going to listen to what you have to say.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And if I can just add to that as well. And if you're a woman in the meeting where you're seeing someone being spoken over, a good thing to do also is to say, hang on a minute, just stop that person speaking and say, look, I think so-and-so has something they want to say, you know, and just, I think, again, I'm very much about women, supporting women. It's not a competition. It's all about collaboration here. So how do we make that work? And there's little things we can do. There's things like, and one of the best terms I heard was what they call heap eating, where a woman has said something, a good idea, then a man comes up with it and he's like, oh yeah, it's brilliant. But she just said that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, were we in the same meeting?
yeah. So yes, that's a really, really, really good point. Really, really good point. So Giselle, what do you think? Carry on.
Oh no, there's this one more thing that I wanted to add. Like in the meeting context at work, right?
Yes.
Never leave a meeting without saying something. You know, we tend to go into meetings and we just listen and consume. But if you're just always doing that, people are not going to see you as somebody that has something valuable to say.
Yeah, that's very valid.
Don't worry about, a lot of times, again, negative self-talk. We may think to ourselves, oh, our idea is stupid. Please stop thinking your ideas are stupid. Your ideas are not stupid. You would not be within the position that you're in no matter what capacity you're in.
Yeah.
You know, you have the expertise. You have a valuable point of view. So always make sure, even if it's at the end of the meeting, because maybe you want to wet your feet, you know, you're not ready to just, you know, from the get-go say this, that, and that, and that.
Yeah. No,
at the end of the meeting, if at all possible, close the meeting and say, okay, this is my overview. This is my feedback of what I've seen happening. Give your commentary. Say whether you think it's a good idea. Say how we can make things better, you know, and then that's just something small that you can do to help you position yourself, you know, as a leader within the workplace. Yeah.
That's a great tip. That's a great tip. And I think that something you touched on there is that we also need to realize that no organization employs someone in order to fail. They employ you because they believe you can do the job. Yeah. So I think that's a great point for you to raise there. So Giselle, what do you think holds women back from going for their goals?
We just don't think we're good enough. And I don't know where it came, and I don't know where it comes from. You know, I mean, I think the Harvard Business Review calls it a confidence gap. And again, always talking into the bigger social context, socially, right, we typically raise our boys with the expectations that they're going to do great things, that they're going to be leaders. Whereas with women, we typically socialize them to say, okay, you're going to take care of the home. And in more modern times, you're going to be a great employee or maybe even a great manager, you know, but we don't really encourage them to go for more if that's something that they really want to do, right? And because they haven't been encouraged, you know, from that early stage in the game, again, they start to wonder, okay, am I really cut out for this? Do I really have the tools for this?
Yeah.
You know, and I think there was a study that was done. The numbers may be a little bit fuzzy, but if a woman sees a job, for example, right? Even if they're qualified for it, even if they're overqualified for it, I think they are more likely, I remember the percentage, more likely not to apply to that job for whatever reason. They don't think that they're able to do it. However, conversely, if a man sees that same position and they don't have all the competencies required, they're going to apply for it anyway. And the study also showed further down that they are, I think, 16% more likely, if they did apply, to get the job. So it's that confidence gap that we need to work on, and we need to, you know, help our girls realize. And again, this is why I'm a brand story strategist, because it's not just, for me, it's not just about telling your story. This is how I got from point A to point B. You know, it's about controlling the narrative that you tell yourself, because the stories that you tell yourself is far more important than the stories that you tell other people.
And then also knowing that you control the ending of that story. So thanks for that. So I love that. So Giselle, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
Oh, there's so many. How about the one that came to my mind instantly is Richard Branson's "Screw it, let's do it." Yeah, so when I find myself just overthinking too much, I'm like, screw it, let's just do it.
Excellent, excellent. Fantastic. And if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Ooh. I have to choose one, right? Okay, it would be...
We can narrow it down. Come on, let's see. I'm always interested in this question.
It's so funny because it... isn't, I'm all about, you know, women empowerment, right? But it's not actually a woman, at least the one that not one that comes to my mind readily. It is Tony Robbins.
Okay, you and my husband can live. You and my husband can live. He's a big Tony Robbins fan.
Yeah, so I like it. I like his work with mindset. You know, I admire his journey and, you know, how he's on a mission to just bring people up to the best versions of themselves. And that's another thing too, because even though Tony Robbins comes to my mind, an issue, something that I've noticed, you know, in this space is that we don't have that many women being represented as leaders. You know, where are our examples?
We need that, and
that's something that I'm really passionate about, because I don't want it to be a situation where, you know, more of us are constantly saying, you know, these are the men that come to my mind. We need more examples out there. And they're there.
Definitely. And I find that all the time doing this podcast. One of the things I found, and it's amazing, you know, much the fact I kind of niched into the Caribbean, because again, I think it's a really overlooked. We have those examples, those persons we can look to within our own communities. We just don't see it. You know, so
And they may be a little bit they may not want to put themselves out there.
Yes, very true.
I've found that too. So we need, and so we have to encourage them and say, no, we got to put you out there. We got to let the world see you. Think about
you.
All of the wonderful people that you're impacting.
Excellent, excellent. So Giselle, we're coming down to our last few questions. But what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
What have I learned about myself throughout my career? I realized that I am a pretty awesome person. And
yeah, big clap, big clap.
And I have no problem in saying that, because after years of not realizing it, it's good to sit in this place to realize my worth. And again, always thinking in the context of other women, we're all awesome. We all have that wonderful thing about us, whether it be talents, you know, or just our personality. There is something great inside of us, and we have these nuggets of wisdom that we have to share, right? Yeah. You just got to own your awesome.
Yes.
So I've realized that throughout my career, you know, of years of probably being put down or not getting to places where I want to go. But after a while, I said, no, I am great. I do deserve this. Mm-hmm. I've been equipped with everything. So that's something that I've realized. Another thing that I've realized throughout my career is that what I have to say, again, is valuable because I already have the expertise to say it. And a lot of the times, too, a lot of the people who say things, they don't know what they're saying anyway. They really don't.
Yeah.
So why should I, who know what I'm saying, not speak up? And another thing that I've realized in my career is that I was raised to not pay attention to what people are saying about you, right? And there is truth in that.
Yeah.
However, if you have this picture of yourself, of who you want to be, a great leader, you have to pay attention to what people are saying about you, you know. But obviously you filter out the things that, you know, don't add value to add value to you, and filter out the things that don't make sense and the source where it's coming from. But if you don't listen to the narratives that are out there about you, you can't be a better human. You can't be a better leader. Right. So that's something that I have learned throughout my career.
Fabulous. And can I just say, I love that you own that you're awesome.
Thank you.
because and again, I have a little bee in my bonnet sometimes that I see some very successful women, and all of them, to a T, pretty much 99% of them would downplay their achievements. And there's this level of, you know, that they're uncomfortable talking about what they've done or how they got there, and we're taught this level of humility and not to brag. I'm like, wow. And I'm not a big fan of it. I'm honest, I'm not a big fan. You know, because most of us have worked incredibly hard to get to where we are, so why are we hiding, you know? And why are we feeling like we almost have to be embarrassed about the fact we've got to where we are? So I think we have to own our awesome. And I love it. Absolutely love it. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. So where would we find you on a Saturday morning, typically at 10 a.m., Giselle?
Recording podcasts. In my home, talking to amazing women.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. I know you're multitasking all the way through.
Yeah.
and lastly, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
I mean, it means everything, you know. As my mother and my grandma would say to me, every toe have to stand up on their own bottom. So if God forbid you know, my husband weren't around, or I just lose everybody, right? What is left? You know, am I going to shrink? Am I going to die? Am I not going to value myself? No. I've been brought into this world for a reason. You know, I have to appreciate who I am, you know, and that means recognizing that I am that hero or shiro, as some people would say, you know, and there's always, as long as I'm on this earth, there's always something that I am here to do.
Fabulous, fabulous. So thank you so much for that, Giselle. It's been wonderful talking this morning. And yes, it is morning. And she's right, 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. We're doing podcasts. So if our listeners want to connect with you or hear more about your work and what you do, how can they do that?
Okay, so they can mosey on over to GiselleRiley.com. That's GizelleRiley.com, or you know, they can check me out on LinkedIn. I love connecting with new people, and on my Instagram. My Instagram is the Digital Boss Babe Podcast, and there is normally where you get updates of when I interview amazing women. Coming up would be Janice Sutherland.
Yeah, I'll be in that hot seat. So Giselle, I'll be sure to add everything to the show notes so people can, if they haven't got pens and paper handy, they can quickly run to it. So thank you so much for your time today. It has been wonderful to connect. Thank you.
Thank you. You're such a warm human. Oh. I love you so much. And I love your questions. Oh my gosh. You don't even know how much you've been blowing my mind, because I know you're interviewing me, right? But I check out your book on Amazon and boom, nuggets of wisdom all over the place. It's like, this is amazing.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, as you probably gathered, that interview was recorded a few weeks ago, before we knew the situation we'd be in with the recent pandemic. But that remains to be said, that it's time for us to own our awesome, just like Giselle said, when we're coming out of this. I know in a previous episode I spoke about not feeling pressured by social media society to feel like you have to come out of this with everything planned and feeling super, super fantastic. But what you do and what you can do in this time is actually take some time to recognize what makes you unique. What are the skill sets you have? What makes you awesome? And how can you use those should the need arise? So it's not a task that's overwhelming. It's just you recognizing the attributes, the skill sets, the personality, the qualities that you own, that are yours, that are unique, that enables you to own your awesome. So if you want to know how you can own your awesome, or what's more help in finding out how to do that, head over to thiswomancan.coach, join the conversation, join the group. Let's chat about what makes you unique, what makes you awesome, how can you own it, what do you do with it, what does it look like, how are you going to utilize your natural abilities to merge out of this a little more resilient. You won't have it all together, you won't have all the answers, that's okay. But we want to know that you can know that you will merge out of this with something. So all that remains to be said right now is make sure wherever you are in the world is you take care and stay safe until next time. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can, take care.
You've been listening to the This Woman Can podcast, brought to you by This Woman Can, the no bullshit guide for women who lead, available on Amazon and Kindle. For more information about the training and consulting services offered for women who lead, including one-on-one executive coaching and group masterminds, visit thiswomancan.coach.